I want you to take your copy of God's Word this morning. Let's go to the last book in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. You probably know it by heart, but let's turn there and let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Jesus said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Let's pray. Father God, we acknowledge the fact that your name, the name of Jesus, is above all other names. There's not a name like it anywhere else. And Lord, as we look at this portion of your word today, the one whose name is above all names is knocking at the door of someone's heart here this morning. I pray, Father, that you would bless us as we study your word together, that your Holy Spirit might take it and use it to touch the lives of the lost who might be in this service, to touch the lives of the saved who might be in this service. And so, God, we give you thanks in advance for what you're going to do. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be our teacher and our guide here this morning. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the last sermon in our series on doors. The past 3 weeks, we've looked at some very important passages of Scripture that dealt with different types of doors. The first message, we discovered that sin is crouching at the door of those who do not desire to do right. The second message, we talked about how David prayed that God would guard his lips and guard the door of his mouth. And then last Sunday, we looked at God's open doors that impact our destiny. And that if God opens a door, no man can shut that door. And if God shuts a door, no man can open that door. But this morning, we will look at what I believe to be the most important door yet. And it is not an open door, as we looked at last Sunday, but rather it is a closed door that can only be opened from the inside. It's a door that determines one's eternal destiny because it centers around whether or not we will open the door to our church or whether we will open the door to our hearts and we will allow Jesus to come in and save us and use us for His honor and for His glory. Now, to stay true to this text, we have to first approach it from the fact that Jesus is speaking to a church. The church that is based in the city of Laodicea. Now, Jesus wrote letters to seven churches, and He had something good to say about all of them except one. And He has spoken words of rebuke and words of commendation on the other churches. But there is a church that He really has nothing good to say about. But in the midst of the stern rebuke of Jesus upon this church, there is a compassionate plea that He sends out to these people. You see, Jesus never wants to walk away from anybody. Jesus never wants to abandon a church or an individual. His desire is to fellowship with them. His desire is to use them for His honor and for His glory. But this church at Laodicea is a church first and foremost that Jesus Christ is seeking entrance into. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open that door, I will come into them and I will fellowship with them and they will fellowship with me." Now, it's hard to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has to knock on the door of his church in order to gain access. That's a terrible thing. That's a hard thing to even comprehend. Yet, it is a very believable picture because there seem to be many, many churches who struggle today because those within the church are seeking to lead the church instead of allowing Jesus to lead the church. So when you look at this text from that angle, we're challenged to ask ourselves as members of the church if Jesus has to knock on the doors of this church in order to gain entrance. Another way we can look at this text this morning is from a very personal angle, and that is that Jesus Christ is standing at the door of every lost person's heart who is in this room this morning. And the Bible says that he is knocking on your heart's door, that he is seeking entrance into your lives in order to save you and in order to use you. The text tells us that it is not an angel that is knocking on the door, but that it is Jesus himself. This morning, if you're here and you have never begun a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of your heart this morning. It is the Creator of the universe who's knocking at your heart's door today. It is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who longs to for you to open up your life to Him and for Him to be able to come in and take up a permanent residence in your life. So with that in mind, I want us to consider three things this morning about the one who stands at the door and knocks. First thing I want you to understand is that Jesus Christ is still a seeking Savior. He is still a seeking Savior. Jesus is on the same mission today that he was on when he walked bodily on the face of this earth. He came into this world to save souls. He came into this world to save this world from its sins. And nothing has changed from the day he was born till the day he lived, till the day he died, till the day he was buried, till the day he rose from the dead, till the day he ascended into heaven. Nothing has changed about his mission. He came then to seek and to save those that were lost. And his mission is still the same this morning. And I want to tell you, he seeks aggressively, like a shepherd finding that one lost sheep and bringing it back into the fold. He seeks like the woman with the lighted candle and the broom that is searching her house for the lost coin in the parable that Jesus taught. And it's not, listen, it's not that we seek him, but rather he is the one seeking us. It's not that we love him, it's that he loves us. He is the pursuer when it comes to salvation. But there is a limit to his pursuit. He knows that we have been created with the freedom of choice by God. And he honors that freedom. And so when he comes to the door of our heart, he stops at the door. And he knocks at the door. He seeks entrance by knocking at the door. He doesn't knock the door down to invade our lives. He does all he can do to gain our attention. He does all he can do to woo our hearts. But he will never, ever use forcible entrance to gain access into our lives. You see, when Jesus comes into our lives, it's because we have opened the door of our life to him. And we have invited him in. Ultimately, the decision is yours to make. He never comes where He's not invited. And that can either be to the church or to our lives individually. He never enters a heart that's not open. He never saves anyone who doesn't want to be saved. But He's always seeking and He's always knocking. So when He wrote, when He gave John the Revelator these words to this church, this letter to this church, He said, "Tell them that I'm standing at the door and that I'm knocking on the door, and that if anyone will open that door, I will come in to them and I will fellowship with them, and they will fellowship with me and they will be saved." So I don't know about you, I'm glad that God is still seeking lost souls today, and that there's still time for people to be saved. But here's the second thing. He is just that. He is a knocking Savior. He is knocking on the door of our heart this morning. Some people might say, "Well, that sounds good, preacher, but He's never knocked at my door. I've never heard that knock at the door of my heart." Well, I hate to tell you this, but you're wrong if that's your assessment of the situation. You might say, "Well, I'm too bad. I've done so many bad things, Jesus couldn't possibly be interested in me." Or, "I'm not interested and I don't want anything to do with religion. I don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ." Or, "I've gone too far. My heart is too hard. It's too calloused to listen to Him." And that may be your take about your own life. But can I tell you something this morning? Wherever there is a beating heart, there is a seeking Savior. There is a knocking Savior. There is always hope. Well, how does He knock? Well, He uses His Word to knock on the door of your heart. He uses the Bible. He uses the revealed message of God. I think that He uses every service in which you might attend. He uses every song. He uses every word that is spoken. He uses every knee that is bowed in prayer. He uses every prayer that's prayed. He uses every assembly of God's people. He uses every sermon on the radio, on the computer, on the television, whether it's written in a book. All of these things that God uses to knock on the door of your heart. Every time you realize your shortcomings, God is knocking at your door. Every time you go through a difficult time in your life, every time you go through a depressing time in your life, every time you go through an anxious time in your life, God is knocking at your door. I believe God uses every tear. I believe God uses every heartache. All are knocks at your door. Every time you remember about how your mother or your father prayed for you, or your best friend prayed for you, that's a knock at your door. He knocks when you get married. He knocks when that little baby comes into the world, into your home. He knocks at the time of death. He's always knocking because He's always seeking. He's always searching out those who are lost. There is not a person alive who has not felt the rap at the door of their heart. You were formed in your mother's womb for the purpose of having fellowship with God. Don't try to tell me He's never knocked at the door of your heart. Don't give me that. Because I believe He's doing it right now. I believe you sense and feel it right now. He's either trying to get into into your church life, or He's trying to get into your life for the first time. But there's a knock at your door. Because He is a knocking Savior. He is a seeking Savior. But then the third thing, He is a waiting Savior. I'm glad God is patient with us, aren't you? I'm glad God is long-suffering with us. I'm glad that the first time we heard that knock on the door and we rejected it and we said we didn't want anything to do with it, that Jesus didn't turn and look at his little pad and scratch us off the list and say, well, I gave him an opportunity. Because most of us who are here this morning were not saved the first time we ever felt the knock. We were not saved. But God never gave up. God never gave up on us. And so He is a waiting Savior. He is anxiously waiting for the door of your heart to swing open to Him this morning so that He can enter your life and so that He can fulfill the plan of God for your life. I want to tell you, the salvation you've been longing for, the peace that you've been longing for, the forgiveness you've been so desirous of, the second chance you've prayed for is knocking at your door right now. The one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the one who is called the Rock of Ages, the one who's called the Bright and the Morning Star, the one who died for you and rose again, the one who ascended back into heaven, the one who is coming back again to receive us all into heaven, all who are saved, He is the one. He is the one that is knocking at your door this morning. Surely you hear Him. Surely you sense that knock at the door of your heart. In St. Paul's Cathedral in London hangs Holman Hunt's picture of the light of the world. You've probably seen it before. It's an old cottage, run down and neglected. Bushes almost covering the windowsills. Grass has grown over the pathway. The hinges on the door are rusty. Yet in the midst of this picture stands Jesus and all His regal robes, with a lantern in one hand, and with the other hand He knocks on the door, and the light shines on that old run-down cottage. But there's no handle on the outside of the door. Entrance can only be gained from the inside. And so if Jesus is to come in, it is you who must open the door. And when you open the door and you allow Him to come in, then the glory of God's light will rest upon your soul. There was a time when all of us were like that old rundown cottage, where we had nothing really to live for. Life didn't have any purpose, didn't have any meaning. But then one day, we heard the knock at the door. We opened the door, and Jesus Christ was standing at the door of our heart. And we invited Him in. And He graciously and willingly came into our lives. And now, all of a sudden, when that day happened, there was a light that shone in our darkness and pointed us to Him. And ever since that day, we've been walking in the light of Jesus Christ. There may be somebody here this morning whose life resembles that old rundown cottage, in need of repair, in need of a new beginning. Well, I want to tell you, you're hearing the knock on your door right now. You're feeling it. You're sensing something in your spirit that you've never sensed before. It's God. It's God knocking at the door of your heart, waiting for you to open that door and allow Him to come into your life. Martin Luther, a great theologian, said, "Before my conversion, had you knocked on my door and asked who lives there, I would have said Martin Luther lives there. Had you come in to see me, you would have found a monk with his head shaved, sleeping in a hair shirt, under his head two tables of stone, a whip hanging down by the side of the bed. But if you knock at the door of my heart today and you ask who lives there, I will reply, Martin Luther no longer lives there. Jesus Christ lives here." Amen. And I hope if somebody asks you who lives in your heart today, that you'd be able to tell them Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ lives in my heart. It's an old hymn. It says, if you're tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you would like a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now, your doubtings give o'er. Just now, reject Him. Reject Jesus no more. Just now, throw open the door and let Jesus come in to your heart. That's what some of you need to do today. Some of you need to open that door for the first time and let Jesus Christ come into your life. You need to ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to save you and to become a part of your life for all of eternity. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you think about God and whether or not He will receive you and whether or not He will forgive you. I promise you that He will, based on His Word, if you'll just ask Him. But then there may be some who are members of His church, but yet He cannot seem to find entrance or gain entrance into your life anymore. And He's standing at the door of your heart, and He's knocking this morning, desiring for you to open that door and to renew that fellowship that was once so strong and so vibrant in your life. I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to open the door and let Jesus come in? Pray with me. Father, I don't think the invitation gets any simpler than that. You have sent your Son, Jesus, to come to this earth, to die on a cross so that we could have our sins forgiven. And now, Lord, that same Jesus stands at the door of our lives and He knocks, wanting to gain entrance into our lives. And Father, there are some here today who do not know You as their Lord and as their Savior, who know this morning that if they were to die right now, that they would be separated from You forever, be separated from family and friends who know Jesus as their Savior. And they would spend an eternity in hell, a place not prepared for them, but a place prepared for the devil and his angels. And so, Lord, I just ask You to save those who are lost. I ask You to reclaim those who are saved, that You're still trying to get in their lives totally and completely. There may be others, Father, who are looking for a church home. Maybe this is where You want them to be. I pray that You'd draw them to Yourself as well. God bless this time of invitation this morning. It is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. You meet us here on the front right now.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Well, I truly pray that you have done that. But if for some reason you did not make that decision publicly this morning, I want you to seek a member of our staff out before you go and say, I need Jesus in my life today. And we'll be glad to pray with you and talk with you, minister to you, and help you in any way that we can. If you're a guest today, once again, thanks for coming. On your way out, if you're going out the front doors there, our welcome center is located there on the right. There'll be somebody there to give you a package of information and answer any questions that you might have. So we hope you'll do us that honor and that privilege to stop just for a moment and receive that information. Well, we look forward to seeing you back tonight at 6 o'clock as we'll close out our series on true identity, who we're meant to be in Christ. Clarence, come and lead us in our closing prayer, please, sir.
Let us pray. Dear God, my gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we approach our throne at this time thanking you for what we have just heard. And Lord, the message that has been sent out to all of us, if we cannot understand it and don't understand the simplicity of it, let us dwell on this in our hearts, because this is all he's asking, to come in to our heart. And the door, all we've got to do is open it. Thank you for giving us a time of celebration. The songs that we sung and the praises we made your great and glorious name. Now let us depart from here and go on our way and come back at the next appointed time. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.